I'm as always thankful for any and every opportunity the Lord gives for us to come together and worship Him in spirit and truth. It's been an amazing weekend, to say the least, brother. I'm so very thankful that the Lord has blessed me to be here. Thankful that the Lord led Brother Bill to leave me with tonight instead of yesterday. Yesterday, I left Dallas about 4 a.m. and I was tired. So, but I'm a lot better today. Still a little tired, but welcome to life, right? Thankful for what's going on before. I've been blessed by each and every sermon. I thank each and every gift. I'm thankful for each and every gift. And as we look into something in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I was standing in my backyard not too awful long ago speaking with Elder David Montgomery, and we were talking about the things that all of us talk about, right? Shrinking numbers, you know, churches getting smaller, all the different things. And, you know, and I don't say that in a way that anyone would think that I'm discouraged, right? I'm not discouraged in the least. I've been blessed. I've been given strength. I've been given so many wonderful things. I'm not discouraged in the least. In fact, just being here, I'm thoroughly encouraged by the attendance. I'm thoroughly encouraged by the song services and the prayers and the preaching. And brother, let me tell you something. This is the place that I want to be. And I thank God for that. But as we were speaking there in the backyard, we were talking about that, and you know, and I just kind of asked him a question, right? I mean, he's an elder minister, and you know, some of those things I like to ask pretty much all of you guys here. You know, what exactly is our job today? Like, you know, we were talking about, you know, new pastor comes in a church and you're thinking, oh, it's going to grow and all these things, and then that doesn't happen and it doesn't happen. Anybody been there? But he said something that was very profound to me out of Revelation. I think it's Revelation chapter 5, if I'm not mistaken. It was to the church at Sardis. I know that for a fact. But he said that we are to strengthen the things that remain. And man, you want to talk about a punch in the gut and a lighting a fire under someone? That has been the greatest gift to me, to understand what it is that I'm up here for, right? I can't make children of God. Can anybody in here make a child of God? I can't make children of God, but what I can do is I can encourage children of God, right? I can get up and I can speak about those things that Brother Hayes just spoke about, election, predestination, preservation of the saints. I can get up and talk about all those things, but one of the greatest things, right now, one of the things that's most heavy on my heart is our infirmities, right? The things that we suffer every single day. Anybody have any sufferings? Anybody suffering today? I know lots of people in this room that suffer on a daily basis, whether it be us, whether it be a child, a parent, a wife, a husband, whatever it might be. There's so many things in this world that drag us down, and many days it's very, very hard as we get up out of bed in the morning and try and put one foot in front of the other. We think, how am I going to do it today, Lord? And sometimes the question is, how are you going to do it today? Because I can't. Right? Anybody ever been there? It's a very familiar scripture. It's something that's very, very near and dear to my heart. But there's something. Yeah, I've been asked by one of my very, very good friends. She's a member at one of the churches that I pastor. Very ill, very sick, always having troubles, always suffering, all these things. And she's like, what is this all about? I don't understand. Why are we always suffering? Why is there always suffering? And we heard all through the second service about the strength of God and all of these things, but there's something very, very important here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that the Apostle Paul says, and you know, everybody knows about the thorn in the flesh, and I love that. I love the thorn in the flesh. I love reading about it. I love studying about it. I have no clue what it is, but I know it hurt. I know he asked the Lord to take it away 3 times, and I know we all know what the Lord told him. My grace is sufficient for thee. He says, my strength is perfect in weakness, right? We all know that story. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. I love to preach about it. I love to talk about it. I love to tell everybody I know about it. Why? Because it's encouraging. It lifts me up. It says, my brother Paul had the exact same infirmities that each and every one of us have. Did he not? I mean, Paul suffered greater than anybody that I can think of other than the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know everybody. But as far as a written record, Paul suffered. But then he tells us why. Paul didn't walk I'm going, you know, I suffer worse than everybody else. You know, I've had a hard life, you know. And you read a little bit in 2 Corinthians 11, he talks a little bit, he boasts a little bit about that. But it's not like, look at me, I'm such a horrible, awful, you know, I'm so just downtrodden. He's not doing it for that very reason. He's saying, I have infirmities too. He's like, you might be a Jew, but so am I. They might be a preacher, but so am I. Right? The struggles that we have as ministry, he had them too. And more so. But he says something here. He says in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. The measurement, or the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. He's saying, this has a purpose, right? He's saying, this thorn that's in my flesh has a purpose. It's not just there to be there, right? It's not just there because he did something bad, and God's mad at him, so he puts it on him. I can't tell you how many times people ask me, I was like, what did I do to deserve this? Have you ever asked that question? Does anybody want an answer to that? I do not. I don't want an answer. When I get to that point, I say, Lord, what did I do to deserve this? I always say, never mind. I know. We know. Right? Don't answer that. That was rhetorical. But that thorn in the flesh served a purpose. It wasn't just there because God was mad at it for persecuting his church. I don't know what it is. That's just... doesn't tell us what it is. It doesn't matter. But he didn't like it. He didn't like it. And it was given to him as a messenger of Satan above him, lest I should be exalted above measure. He's talking about, if you go up a couple of things, he says, for though I would desire to glory up in verse 6, I should not be a fool. He's like, even though I've got all this revelation, even though I'm a 10 times better preacher than I'll ever be, he said, I could glory in that, but I'm not a fool. Because he knows where the preaching comes from, right? He knows who it is that gets into preaching, and he knew exactly who it was that gave him the thorn in the flesh. He knew it was. And so when they ask, he says, what is the purpose of this? How come I have this? And he asked God to take it away 3 times. In verse 8, he says, for this thing I besought the Lord twice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, did he get an answer? He got an answer. He got an answer. What did he get? It was no. God ever tell you no? Sometimes God says no. Sometimes he says no. But he didn't leave it at no. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now this is what he says he will glory in. This is what he says that he will glory in. He says, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities. Why? Anybody like hurting? Anybody like suffering? Anybody like feeling bad? Anybody like being heartbroken? Think about this for a minute. He says, gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
Right, right.
We sing the song from time to time. In Christ alone, my hope is found. Mm. Anybody got any hope in anywhere else? Mm. Anybody got any hope in anywhere else? What was Saul of Tarsus' story? What did he go through? You go back to Acts chapter 7. He stood there and he held the coats of the men that stoned Stephen, that killed Stephen. He stood there and he held the coats. And then you go to the first verse of chapter 8, and it said he was consenting unto their death. He liked the fact that they stoned that man. That he didn't care, didn't bother him a bit. He was happy about it. Get over to chapter 9, what happens to him? He's on the road to Damascus. What is he trying to do? He's trying to break in the back door of this very church, arrest you and me, take us off to jail, whatever they do to us in jail, get, you know, killed, whatever it might be in jail for the rest of your life, whatever it might be, he had a mission, and his mission was to destroy the church of God. That's what his mission was. Well, what happened? On that road to Damascus, what happened? He was visited by the Lord. He was visited by the Lord. He had an infirmity. Saul of Tarsus, he did. He had an infirmity. He had hatred in his heart. He had anger in his heart. He hated the Lord Jesus Christ. He hated the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He hated every single one of us. He had a problem. He was sick. What happened? The Lord got hold of him.
Yes,
you know, we went through some trouble when I was a kid in church. I didn't join the church till I think it was 20. I think I was 20 when I joined the church. And you know, I sat there week after week after week on that bench thinking, okay, today's the day. Okay, today's the day. I feel like today's going to be the day that God gives me the takes away the fear that's in my heart, which I will tell you is another infirmity. He takes away the fear that's in my heart, and I come down the aisle and I ask for a home in church. Today's the day. Today's the day. Song service would come. What would happen? I'd go to the song service, hug my dad, hug Brother Montgomery, and go sit right back down, not say two words to nobody. I'm sick. I had a problem. December 7th, 1997, God Himself sent a man to preach a sermon. And if you ever sat in an auditorium with 200 people, 150 people, I don't know, there's a ton of people there, and the preacher's preaching, I was sitting right back there, what Sister Mary said, right to you, like there's nobody else there. And then, to me, to my surprise, I wasn't even thinking about that, to my surprise, I feel like He picked me up by my collar and drug me down that aisle and said, tell Brother Montgomery you want to go to church today. And you know what I did? I stood up and I walked down that aisle and I told Brother Montgomery I want to join the church out there. He fixed it. He fixed it. God did that. I had something better to do that day. I had a drag race to go through that night. I had a race car. I mean, I was fully worldly. Anybody knows me? I've been called brother. I have six dealers in the Austin, Texas area. Six Toyota dealers in the Austin, Texas area. I'm very familiar with the nightmare that is Austin, Texas, right? And so, I'm fully vested in the car business. Cars, cars. And as a growing up kid, I was hot rods, build engine, build. If it ain't fast, we're going to make it faster. If it's fast, we're going to make it faster. I mean, if it's the fastest one in town, I'm going to make it faster than the one in the next town. That's just what I did. God sent the rain. Race got canceled. I went to church. Are we kind of seeing the pattern here of what it is that God does for His people? You know, we talk about being born again. Is that a choice? You ask for it, you pray for it. Does everybody say, Lord, please give me the new birth. Please born me again. You know, I've been good this week. Give me what it is I'm asking for. Well, I'm going to tell you, if you're asking for it, brethren, you've already been born again. And it didn't happen through a 12-step process like we get out of being an alcoholic, brethren. It is a one-step process. The Lord Jesus Christ comes to where you are, and He says live, and guess what? You live. It's that quick. It's that fast. There is no process in any of those things. That's what he does. He fixes stuff. And for me, I'm a fix-it guy. When I can't fix something, I have a problem with it. I did fix a 4Runner last week. That was good. Preached about it 2 weeks ago. Finally got it fixed on Monday. But it's fixed. I prayed a lot over that car. I went to the dealer 3 times. I prayed every time. I preached multiple times. I pray, I fix it. Well, I prayed 2 times. I didn't fix it. The 3rd time, I was like, well, I'm going to try this again. I prayed again. Went in and fixed it. The sufferings have a purpose. And Paul says, therefore, more gladly would I glory in my infirmities. Why? So the power of Christ can rest upon me.
Right.
That's the greatest gift to any child of God. And you say, Lord, why am I suffering so? Well, think about it for a moment. Maybe it's because He wants you to feel the power of Christ for just a little while. Maybe it is not. I've ignored the Lord Jesus Christ for plenty of time. And He says, I'm going to put some infirmity in you, and I'm going to make you feel the power of my Son. You ever think about maybe that's the way the Lord works? Maybe He gives you the things that you need at the very moment that you need it, when you're right about to give up. I've been there, brethren. I felt the power of Christ. On the road to Damascus, Saul of Tarsus felt the power of Christ. He heard the voice of Christ. Sometimes I wish I could do that. But it doesn't always work that way, brethren. The very fact of the matter is that he works in every day. He works in every way. Those infirmities are for nothing. They're not for nothing. Think about that for a moment. So many people in here have been through so many horrible, awful things. Me and my family have been through multiple tragedies, brother. Let me tell you something. If you don't know about my son, and I've been fighting, talking about this for 9 full years, but the fact of the matter is, I guess time's time. It is what it is. So, the day that he passed away, we were out on a trail, and he just collapsed, and there was nothing I could do. I couldn't do anything. I did CPR. I'm CPR certified. I did all the things. I thought I was doing right. But the fact of the matter is, he didn't get better. They sent a helicopter. They couldn't put him in a helicopter because he went into cardiac arrest. They take him to the first emergency room, brethren. And I walked in there and I held his hand while they worked on him. And they worked on him and they worked on him and they worked on him. And then they got him stable enough and put him in a helicopter. And he drove and they flew him to Cook Children's. And when we got to Cook Children's, my pastor, Elder Clifford Goins, and his wife took me in the end. And let me tell you something. When I walked in the door, you know what I saw? I saw First Primitive Baptist Church in that room. They were there. They weren't at First Primitive Baptist Church building. They were in the hospital with me. Brother Mark was there. Brother Mark was there praying and holding us up and being there as a fellow minister, as someone that cared. Brethren, the very fact of the matter is the power of Christ was present that day. Amen. The power of Christ is the one when I begged to take his place that he said no, but I'm going to give you the grace to suffer through it.
Amen.
It was the power of Christ that when he breathed his last breath that took that young man home to be with his Lord. And I thank God every day that I know that. And the church was there. What Brother David was talking about yesterday, the church was there. The church is always here. And the very fact of the matter is, that in my darkest times and my biggest doubts, brethren, the place I long to be more than anything is in the house of God, of fellowshipping with the saints of God in every single way. Like I said, if I could just move in here with all you guys and we could just hang out here and have that barbecue every day, that would suffice. I would be fine with that, brethren. But the fact of the matter is, I've got to go home in a little while. And you know what's going to get me home? The power of Christ. Through all of the suffering and all of the things that we suffer each and every day, tomorrow's coming, and how are you going to deal with it? How did Saul of Tarsus deal with it? When Ananias placed his hands upon him and he said, Brother Saul, what happened? He got his sight. He could see. How did he get his sight? The power of Christ. Well, what took away his sight? Power of Christ. It rested upon him so many times throughout his ministry. He said, he was beaten 195 times. It's over here. I can read it right now if I want to. But he was beaten 195 times. He was shipwrecked. He was in the depths more. All these things he goes through. And he gets to this. And he says, I would rather glory in my infirmities because the power of Christ is so amazing at those times. That's the closest he says I've ever been to my Savior is when I'm hurting, when I'm suffering, and all these things. It's the power of Christ that I feel that makes me know tomorrow's coming, but it gives me the strength and the grace to get there and keep going forward. There's nothing greater, brethren, in this world than the power of Christ. There's nothing greater in this life than knowing who it is that carries you through these times. You know, the scripture says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. There's a little girl back there, and my wife back there can tell you about a little bit about the power of Christ. And tell you a little bit about it. If you want to know, there's three of us right here. My dad's sitting over there. He can tell you too. He was there. Brother Mark, you were there. So many people were there. And they saw the literal power of Christ in the room. Brother, let me tell you something. When me and my dad stood outside of my mom's hospital room, as they were sitting there, and some, you know, the sweetest nurse was laying there, was sitting there next to her, talking to her and singing to her, as she was closing her eyes in death. Brethren, we could feel the power of Christ right there in that room. There's nothing greater in this world. And it was all infirmities every single time. It was all heartbreak. It was all tragedy. It was all sickness. It was all illness. But brethren, the power of Christ was prevalent. But when I was out racing them cars, I didn't know about the power of Christ that much. I guarantee you, sitting in the front seat with me, because there's a good chance I wouldn't be here today if he wasn't. But the fact of the matter is, I know it now. He showed it to me. When did he show it? In those infirmities, and all of those times that we were hurting, and all of those times they were suffering. And let me tell you something. He's always there. He sticketh closer to a brother, closer than a brother. And his power reigns and rules today through all tragedy, all illness, all sickness. Sometimes we pray. Sometimes we pray that the power of Christ will rest upon us in many different things. Paul says there's purpose in suffering. There's purpose in all of those things. And brethren, I'm agreeing on these. That one's already open, but I don't care. And let me tell you, what he gives to us in those times, we may not notice it at the time. You know, I've gone back and I've reflected so many times on all the wonderful things that the Lord did for us and to us, with us, all of those things. A lot of times we don't notice in the middle of a storm, but brethren, us too many times we look up. And just like we heard yesterday, we look up and we see the Lord Jesus Christ walking through the storm, walking through the storm on the water. And so many times, just like Peter, we say, Lord, bid me come. And so out we go, and out we go. And I can't walk on water. Never have been able to walk on water. But with the power of Christ, Peter walked on water.
Right.
It was the power of Christ that caused Peter to walk on water. You know what else? It was the power of Christ that saved him when he began to sink.
Yep, that's right.
Brethren, would you put the Lord Jesus Christ in his proper place and you understand just for a moment who it is that gives you all things that pertaineth to all goodness and all greatness and everything that you have that helps you wake up the next day and do the things that you need to do. Brethren, I'm going to tell you something real quick. That night that I came down and I joined the church, believing God, this is the best thing I ever did in my whole life. I swore to God, he asked Mark Richards, I told him I'd never get up here and preach my whole life, and I swore to him I'd never do it. He asked me 45 times, and I told him it was never going to happen. But the Lord, obviously, same as he did with Saul, said, nah, we'll see about that. Right? And so, here we are. But the best thing that's ever happened to me was that coming down the aisle to join myself to the Church of the Living God. And, you know, I think Brother Bill quoted it. It's Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, if I'm not mistaken. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, the rest outside the church is a whole lot different than the rest you get inside the church. The rest you get on Facebook ain't the same rest that you get here in the congregation, brethren. It's a different place. But you go and look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, or chapter 1, verse 7. It says, and to you who are troubled, if you're troubled this morning, Paul writes, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. There's a place to come and get the rest. There's a place to come and feel the power of Christ upon you. There's the greatest place on earth. It ain't Disneyland. It ain't Six Flags, brethren. It's the Church of the Living God. May the Lord rest and bless you.
Amen. Amen.
I'm still thankful, brother.
I know that you appreciate what the Lord sent to us tonight, those connections that we have in and through and by and before the Lord and on the Lord, those things that Brother Joe has talked about, those are connections that we have with the Lord.
Yes, sir.
And that's a great blessing to know that you are connected to the Lord, and more especially, He's connected to you.
Yeah.
Because He is in you and you are in Him and He is in God, and that's just how secure you are. It's that full envelopment of the Lord in your life. And Brother Randy, I don't know the feelings of your hurt that you felt. My heart goes out to anyone that's lost a child. I cannot fathom that. That was a terrible storm. When the Apostle Paul says he gloried tribulation, I don't believe he liked suffering either. But what he did like is the deliverance that he knew came with that grace being sufficient. And that's where our joy is in the tribulation when the Lord delivered. It's like they were on that boat, that storm, while they were being tossed. That was scary for fishermen. I mean, men that were nautical men that knew about boats and storms and all that, they knew the imminent danger that they were in. And the Lord was in the bottom of the boat asleep. And then they cried to Him, and He came and He brought His grace that is sufficient showing that his strength is made perfect in weakness. Where they were weak, he replaced it with his strong. He replaced it in their heart to know that he is one that can say, "Peace be still," and the waves of the sea have to obey his voice. And they could understand that. So friends, we all have our storms. We all have our tribulations. We all have those pressures and things that are in our life. But we all have the same deliverer. We all have the same one that is sovereign over all things. And we have that connection with him. We're going to stand and sing a song here. If you're here and you have that desire to come and join the church, like Brother Randy talked about his time and when he felt desire to join the church, it's just that easy. Just come and profess your belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a hard thing. You don't have to understand all the doctrine. You don't have to understand all of the articles of faith and everything. But if you understand that Jesus is the Christ and that he died for you and rose again, my friend, you need to come forward and join the church. Let's stand and sing.